Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on into Black Friday, November 28, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Why do they call it Black Friday? November 28, 2025, Black Friday. Why is that? Well, technically, this is the first day based on retail sales that most stores begin making a real profit. Up until yesterday, Thanksgiving Day, and I greatly appreciate Devin Lawrence getting the Jerry Stewart Thanksgiving Day show finally on the air yesterday. We had a little technical glitch at the first half hour, but he got it fixed for us. Greatly appreciate him doing that. Basically, paying the employees, paying for the space of where their stores are located, all of their entire year's operations were basically losing money. They stayed in business to be convenient for us. I needed to get a couple of cables for Devin Lawrence to finish off the studio. We still have a couple of little things that we're working on. We need a new component to get rid of that buzz, that hum you're hearing on the apps and on the podcast. But we needed two cables, and we needed them right away. Couldn't order them online, couldn't order them on Amazon, couldn't order them from a cable company, a radio supply house. We needed them, like, now. Luckily, I was able to go to a Myers. They didn't have two of them. They only had one. So I went to Walmart and actually bought two there. Brought them back to the studio. He put them in. It was great. Now, the thing of it is, you have to understand, stores maintain all that inventory. If you're out shopping at a store today, this weekend, look at all the items that are in the store. Those are dollars that they fronted to have the inventory available for us to be able to buy whatever it is we're looking for. Clothing, shoes. You go into the pharmaceutical area of where most drugstores are operating within Walmarts or Myers. Look at all the different shampoos, all the different toothpaste. Look at all the different deodorants. All that inventory is cash dollars that have been sitting there most of the year, and they are operating at a loss. Black Friday is basically termed that because that's the profits, when they officially go from the red to the black. And they basically only have 2 days, 3 days here in November. November 28th, 29th, 30th. Monday starts December. 31 days in December, and that's it. The books close for the calendar year, and that's the entire time they have to make a profit. As a matter of fact, Officer Rick, listening in on Simple Radio app, loud and clear, off duty today. Him and his wife are out shopping right now. Yes, get out there and get some great deals. Justin Michaels coming on next, running for Congress. We're going to have a conversation with him. Short break. We'll be right back.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Road Trip, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall, is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word, is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble. Road Trip, Likely to Succeed, makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
Are you sick and tired of the same old political talking points with no real solutions? Inaction isn't leadership. It's time for new leadership in Michigan's 1st District. Someone with fresh perspectives, new ideas, and a willingness to listen to the people they serve. It's time for change. I'm Justin Michael, and I'm running for U.S. Congress to put Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula back on track. Let's bridge the divides together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment here on this Friday, November 28th edition. Joining us on the line right now is Justin Michael. He is a candidate for Congress running for the first district in next year's August primary. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was absolutely fabulous. It was great. How was yours, bud?
It was great. We had a good time. We're downstate actually visiting with family, and it was a packed house, but got to see the great-grandbaby and all the grandkids and had a great time. Trying to recover, basically, from eating too much yesterday. But we had a good time. Hey, Justin, thinking about today's interview and looking at the calendar and looking at what they did in order to open the government back up, one of the things the Republican leadership in the U.S. Senate agreed to do was to hold a vote on the extension of the Obamacare basically subsidies to keep it affordable. And many think it was just a ploy to play the Democrats to get them back to the table, to get them to open the government back up. But we're facing this crisis again, not too far in the near distant future. I'm wondering, and you and I have talked about this briefly a couple of interviews ago, but we talked about this being a prime opportunity for the Republicans to show some leadership and to roll out their plan for health care for America. And I would like to follow up with you on that point this morning. Do you think there is a plan, number one? And number two, if there isn't, what would you like to be willing to do if you're elected to Congress and you go there to represent the first district? What would be your priority regarding this replacement health care plan that the Republicans have been talking about for years?
Well, Randy, I think the first thing you have to start with is some historical context as to kind of give you a perspective in terms of where the United States is going with healthcare. We're currently spending just shy of $2 trillion a year on healthcare, which is essentially bankrupting our country. A lot of our debt is associated with spending money on healthcare. And what was supposed to be the Affordable Care Act has now become unaffordable. And when you're looking at some of these factors, I mean, pre-ACA, an individual spent roughly $2,700 a year annually on insurance premiums, and now you're looking somewhere between $7,000 and $8,000, depending. So you've seen a huge increase, and we know whenever government gets involved with anything, the prices tend to go up. And you've seen that. You've also seen, you know, what used to be local hospitals become regionalized, and prices continue to go up. Services actually kind of go down in that sense. So right now, obviously, there's a huge battle on the subsidization because that allows people to have what they consider to be affordable care. The problem with that is, where does the money come from and how do we fund it? And right now, we've had roughly 13 years to figure out what we were going to do as Republicans to either repeal and replace or make some form of changes to the ACA in order to make it more affordable for both the American taxpayer and the federal government. And that's not coming to fruition. And I think that we have to look at options. Now, there are some speculations and some considerations out there that talk about consumer-directed funds. And for people who don't know what consumer-directed funds are, they're essentially a system where money flows directly to individuals instead of automatically going to insurance companies or providers. And the patient or the user gets an opportunity to use the money that they have in their account to go out and shop for healthcare and insurance that they want versus what's available. I think some of the fallbacks on that are, again, the government's providing you with funding, or employers are providing you with funding. And some people don't have employment or are on disability and other factors. So right now there's been some speculation that there's going to be some Republican consumer-directed versions of how they're going to pay for insurances. And essentially, that plan looks like it's great for people who aren't sick or don't have pre-existing conditions or aren't elderly. The problem becomes, though, what happens with those individuals.
Sure.
So right now, there's been some proposals that you know, if you earn $50,000 a year, for example, the government would deposit $500 a month into a healthcare savings account. And then you'll be able to take that healthcare savings account, which is roughly $6,000 a year. You'll be able to sign up for what they call a bronze plan, which is $250 a month. And then essentially you would spend $250 out of that account, and the remaining balance of the $250 that's deposited each month, you'd be able to save. So if you don't get sick, that money accumulates and you can maintain it in your account forever, which sounds great. But the concern is it enough to cover certain things like cancers and other factors, you know, some of the more serious health conditions that come up into that, because the right now the bronze plan isn't as strong as it probably should be. So I think there are some significant concerns, but again, it comes back to the government or employers being able to essentially subsidize or fund those accounts. And it makes it really confusing for people who don't have access to technology, understand how to navigate insurance companies and the internet, understand how that account works and get that established, set up, you know, going into those marketplaces. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't internet savvy or aren't insurance savvy. And I feel like it's going to become a serious concern for people, because it's hard enough for people right now to even sign up or enroll on the current government system. So to make another account and to do these things, I don't know that that's a seamless transition, or one that even people can get behind currently. So it's going to be a battle for Republicans. You know, you asked me what I would do. The first thing I would do is I'd sit down with a lot of stakeholders and shareholders and figure out what's going to work, not only for the American people, you know, before the insurance companies and for the healthcare providers. You've seen the rising costs of insurances and practices go up. You don't feel like you're getting the same bang for your buck that you used to back on Michigan Blue Cross Blue Shield before the ACA. And again, I think that that's a lot because of government's involvement in healthcare. So
sure.
I think we need to definitely take a look at that and move forward. But the best way to do it is get people who are, you know, engaged actively in the healthcare system, you know, not only from healthcare providers and insurance companies, because they have the most to gain from that, but also deal with individuals like you and I, who have to pay these premiums and have to navigate that system. How can we streamline that process? How can we make it more affordable? And what are some of those benchmarks that can reduce the cost of premiums, or just the cost of medical care in general?
Well, one of the things that I've always preached on this show, I believe in competition and I believe in consumerism. I mean, if you look at
free
cell
market
phones,
choice, absolutely.
Cell phones alone, Justin. I mean, I used to, back in the 1980s, I had one of the very first cell phones, was in a suitcase, and it had a VCR battery that I had to charge up every night to plug into, and I had to connect to a Curly Q antenna on the back of my rear window of my vehicle. And it was $1 a minute, $1 to connect. And look at what we're paying today. Now we have unlimited phone calls, unlimited text messages, unlimited data for $20-$30 a month, depending on who the carrier is. And I mean, it was only brought about because of competition and choice and people shopping around and, you know, starting with one carrier and then changing to another. And the prices have just come down. Is that not a model you think that could work in healthcare?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. I apologize. What was that question?
Don't you think this is a model that could work in healthcare if we open it up to competition, like you say, give the money directly to the people?
Yeah, absolutely. So to add on that, right, the reason that they're trying to establish these accounts is to give people the opportunity to go out and search for providers. I do think that free market competition is great, because competition does essentially lower, and that's what we had before ACA. People opted in, insurance companies, what I mean, people opted into these, but they realized that it wasn't beneficial and they could make more money doing other things. So they opted out, and then the competition kind of became, you know, narrow, and you only have a couple of selections in certain areas. So I definitely agree that free market competition is one of the factors that can reduce the cost and give us the viable options moving forward. But I think it's a much bigger picture. And I think that with the amount of money that's in play right now in healthcare, which is $2 trillion a year, it's crazy to think. There is no real benefit for them to not want to just keep pushing the way it is, because they can market that. So if you can bring you can bring people to the table, get some of those discussions going on, and get some real movement. I think that both the Republicans and Democrats will work together to try to figure that out, because it's a serious expense. Not only it's a huge burden on the federal government and taxpayers, but it's also a huge out-of-pocket expense for people. And right now, people are struggling to be able to afford to pay their bills and do other things. And the medical care coverage, being that it's mandatory, makes it really difficult for families. And I think we're going to see the pinch or impact of that. And if the Republicans don't figure that out, I mean, this isn't a warning shot over the bow. This is reality. If the Republicans don't figure that out and premiums just skyrocket, you're going to see some struggles in the midterms for sure, because people are going to be upset because it's more money out of their pocket and less money for them to be able to pay other bills that are essential for them, like the cost of housing.
Sure.
You know, and other factors. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, it's coming up for another vote, you know, really soon. And again, we keep hearing even the president talking about, well, we're working on a plan, we're working on a plan. And it's like, okay, what is your plan? I mean, we've been doing this, kicking the can down the road for years.
This dance for 13 years, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, 10 years at least. So, you know, you're looking at that, asking yourself, what is the answer? And I think that's a question that the people are having for a lot of factors right now. You know, there are a couple really good things that came out of the Big Beautiful Bill, you know, but people aren't feeling it yet. And some of those are definitely corporate focused and don't really necessarily help the worker. So when you're looking at what's going on right now in Washington, D.C., Republicans, all of us, we need to get our stuff together and make sure we're on par moving forward, some good plans for the American people. And the American people need to hear this stuff, because right now it sounds like crickets coming out of Washington, D.C. And, you know, we're going into election cycles, so you know that the productivity of Congress is going to significantly reduce here as we get closer to the election. So, you know, I'm not very proud, and I hate to say this, but I'm not very proud of what the Republicans haven't accomplished in the first year in Trump's term, and I really hope that they can get some things rolling and get some plans put out there and get the people excited, because if not, we're going to have a struggle, maybe not so much in the first congressional district, but around the country, and you know what that leads to long term. So if we're in that situation, we're going to have some problems, and like I said, I really hope the Republicans can wake up and start doing some work. If not, it's time for change in leadership, and we need some new voices and people out there that have plans, and that's why I'm running for Congress. I think that this is kind of what you get when you have stagnant people in Washington, D.C. They don't do anything. They're
right.
Just comfortable being there and having their parties and enjoying their life. And people need representation, and they need plans, and they need to feel like the federal government cares about them. And right now, I don't feel like that's happening.
Right, absolutely. Well, I want people to know your website so they can learn more about you. What is the website, and how do you spell it so people can go there directly and learn more about you and your campaign?
Absolutely, Randy. It's Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-L, for Congress.com. Again, Justin Michael for Congress.com. You can also follow me on any social media platform at Justin Michael for Congress.
Excellent. One of the things I'd like to wrap up with is we're heading into, of course, now Christmas. People are out shopping, texting me this morning. They're out participating in the Black Friday sales. But more importantly, I think it's important for a lot of small groups to get together and invite people over to their homes. You're willing to go and visit with folks if somebody wants to set up a meet and greet for you. Explain how you'd like them to do that, and how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two ways, really, we're getting out and meeting people in the community. One is we call them hosting events. So we could either do it as a dinner at people's home, where you get like-minded people or people who are really curious and interested in change to come in and have conversations and just kind of break bread with people. We just really like to sit down with people and get to know them and really hear about their concerns and other factors. And the other thing that we offer as hosting is